Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us and St. John Bosco and his story begins now. John Bosco would say, run, jump, have all the fun you want at the right time, but for heaven's sake, do not commit sin. Oh, glorious St. John Bosco, who in order to lead young people to the feet of the Divine Master, and would mold them in the light of faith and Christian morality, did heroically sacrifice yourself to the very end of your life, and did set up a proper religious institute destined to endure and to bring to the farthest boundaries of the earth your glorious work. Obtain also for us from our Lord a holy love for young people who are exposed to so many seductions, in order that we may generously spend ourselves in supporting them against the snares of the devil, in keeping them safe from the dangers of the world, and in guiding them pure and holy, in the path that leads to God. Amen. And St. John would say, it is not enough to love the young. They must know that they are loved. Here in your midst, I feel completely at home, he said. For me, living means being here with you. That's St. John Bosco. I implore your holiness to follow the inspiration of God, who speaks to the heart, and to proclaim wherever possible veneration to the Blessed Sacrament and devotion to the Blessed Virgin. These are the two anchors of salvation. That was St. John Bosco to Pope Pius IX. And St. John Bosco said, there are two things the devil is deadly afraid of: fervent communions and frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And St. John Bosco, he said, be devoted to Mary Most Holy. Frequently call on her. Never was it known that anyone who trustingly had recourse to her was not promptly heard. Well, that's coming from St. John Bosco. And he said, entrust everything to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and to Mary, help of Christians, and you will see what miracles are. And St. John Bosco would say, when tempted, invoke your angel. He is more eager to help you than you are to be helped. Ignore the devil and do not be afraid of him. He trembles and flees at the sight of your guardian angel. Wow, that is coming from St. John Bosco. And do not be afraid of what the future may bring, for the Lord is already there. Oh, that is awesome. That's coming from St. John Bosco. And guard your eyes, he said, since they are the windows through which sin enters the soul. Garbage in, garbage out. And St. John Bosco would say, study to become very rich, not necessarily financially, but spiritually, but rich in virtue, because the greatest of all treasures is the holy fear of God. That's St. Don Bosco. And St. John Bosco, he was born August the 16th in 1815 near Piedmont, in Italy. His beatification and sainthood, Pope Pius XI beatified him in 1929 and canonized him in 1934. And as a child, he had many dreams. He passed away on January 31st, 1888, at the age of 72. He entered the seminary at the age of 20. And he was a great confessor and spiritual director. And he founded the Daughters of Mary, Help of Christians. And he was ordained at the age of 26, a priest. And he founded an oratory for youth ministry. So you can see from his words, he says, with the works of charity, we close the gates of hell and open heaven. And here's a prayer to him. St. John Bosco, friend of the young, teacher in the ways of God, your dedication to empowering the needy inspires us still, and help us to work for a better world, where the young are given the chance to flourish, where the poor's dream for justice can come true, and where God's compassion is shown to be real. Intercede for us as we bring our needs and you to you and to our Heavenly Father, the help of Christians. Amen. Education is the art of helping young people to completeness. For the Christian, this means education is helping a young person to be more like Christ, the model of all Christians. And so St. John Bosco would say, whatever you do, think of the glory of God as your main goal. So that should be your motivation right there. And he said your mortification should be your diligence in doing your duties and in putting up with the annoyances of others. Yeah. Yeah, that's coming from St. John Bosco. He said, purity is a precious jewel, and the owner of a precious stone would never dream of making a display of his riches in the presence of thieves. True to that. And St. John Bosco said, do you want to become saints? Here is the secret. Confession is the lock. Confidence in your confessor is the key. This is how you can open heaven's gates. Wow. And he says, I beg you to recommend to everyone, first, adoration of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and then reverence for Most Holy Mary. Ask the Blessed Virgin for the grace to receive communion frequently and worthily. Try to imagine that the Blessed Virgin herself will give you the Sacred Host. No one would dare strike at the heart of Jesus while he is in Mary's hands. Wow. And St. John Bosco said, entrust everything to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and to Mary, help of Christians, and you will see what miracles are. And remember what the two things are that the devil hates. He is deadly afraid of fervent communions and frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament. So be humble and patient, and the Lord Jesus will give you the will and the means. Wow. And so the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. As Don Bosco, in his first dream, he tried to stop them using words and fists. Jesus appeared to him in majesty, called him by name, and told him to take charge of these young people, but instructed him, you will have to win these friends of yours, not by blows, but by gentleness and love. And so may Don Bosco remind us there always that while education is a matter of the heart, he insisted that God is the sole master, and we will be unable to achieve anything unless God teaches us and puts the key in our hands. This is St. Don Bosco. Just thank you, Lord, for the life of this saint. And he said that the Eucharist and the Virgin Mary are the two columns that sustains our lives. And so we thank you, Lord, for the lives of these precious saints and their faithfulness to you, that we can glean from them your holy will. St. John Bosco was born in Italy on August 16, 1815. His birth came just after the end of the Napoleonic Wars, which ravaged the area. And compounding the problems on his birthday, there was also a drought and a famine at the time of his birth. And at the age of 2, John lost his father, leaving him and his 2 older brothers to be raised by their mother. And his mother would be declared venerable by the church in 2006. Raised primarily by his mother, John attended church and became very devout. And when he was not in church, he helped his family grow food and raise sheep. They were very poor, but despite their poverty, his mother also found enough to share with the homeless who sometimes came to the door seeking food, shelter, or clothing. When John was 9 years old, he had the first of several vivid dreams that would influence his life. In his dream, he encountered a multitude of boys who swore as they played, Among these boys, he encountered a great majestic man and woman, and the man told him that in meekness and charity he would conquer these young friends. Then a lady also majestic said, "Be strong, humble, and robust. When the time comes, you will understand everything." And this dream influenced John for the rest of his life. And besides providing for his work, God gave him the gift of miracles. With his blessing, Don Bosco cured people's disease. After his prayers on their behalf, the deaf heard, the lame walked, and once a dead boy was raised to life, and he had the gift of prophecy. John Bosco, a young priest who focused his concern on the orphaned and homeless child laborers he encountered in Italy. In 1859, inspired by the example of St. Francis de Sales, Don Bosco founded the Salesians to befriend, educate, and help these impoverished boys. And then John Bosco's theory of education could well be used in today's schools. It was a preventive system, rejecting corporal punishment and placing students in surroundings removed from the likelihood of committing sin. He advocated frequent reception of the sacraments of penance and Holy Communion. He combined catechetical training and fatherly guidance, seeking to unite the spiritual life with one's work, study, and play. In 1825, when he was 9, John Bosco had the first of his series of dreams that would play an influential role in his outlook and work. This dream left a profound impression on him for the rest of his life, according to his own memoirs. In 1835, John entered the seminary and followed 6 years of study and preparation, and he was ordained a priest in 1841. Encouraged by his youth to become a priest so he could work with young boys, John was ordained in 1841. His service to young people started when he met a poor orphan and instructed him in preparation for receiving Holy Communion. And then he gathered young apprentices and taught them catechism. And after serving as chaplain in a hospice for working girls, he opened the oratory of St. Francis de Sales for boys. And several wealthy and powerful patrons contributed money, enabling him to provide 2 workshops for the boys, shoemaking and tailoring. In his dream, when some of these boys were abused for their crimes, he heard it said to him, "Not with blows, but with charity and gentleness, must you draw these friends to the path of virtue." And St. Bosco took this dream as his life mission. To see so many boys from 12 to 18 years of age, all healthy, strong, intelligent, insect-bitten, lacking spiritual and material food, was something that horrified him. And he said, I must, by any available means, prevent boys ending up here. And by 1856, the institution had grown to 150 boys and had added a printing press for publications of religious and catechetical pamphlets. And John's interest in vocational education and publishing justified him as patron of young apprentices and Catholic publishers. And when he was not preaching, Father Bosco worked tirelessly seeking work for boys who needed it and searching for lodging for others. His mother began to help him, and she became known as Mama. And by the 1860s, Father Bosco and his mother were responsible for lodging 800 boys. And many of John's dreams concerned the boys he was teaching in the state of their and the state of their souls. He dreamt that when the boys knelt in the confessional, they came under the influence of certain bad angels and began holding back sins when they made their confessions. And so he had 40 dreams. The first dream, the dream of Saint John had when he was 9, about the Lord, about our Lord and our Lady showing him his future vocation and mission. And then the second was the monthly test, prophetic dream preparing him for a Latin test at school. And John Bosco received remarkable dreams, which were almost visions. Probably the best known dream vision was that of the church like a ship taking refuge between two pillars in the sea. In May 1862, he shared his experience of this dream, and he could see a big ship in the sea, which he understood as the church, the Catholic Church. And try to picture yourself with him on the seashore, or better still, on an outlying cliff with no other land in sight. And the vast expanse of water is covered with a formidable array of ships in battle formation, prows fitted with sharp spear-like beaks capable of breaking through any defense. All are heavily armed with cannons, incendiary bombs, and firearms of all sorts, even books, and are headed toward the stately ship, mightier than them all. As they try to close in, they try to ram it, set it afire, and cripple it as much as possible. And so John Bosco, his preaching fame spread, and by 1850 he had trained his own helpers because of difficulties in retaining young priests. In 1854, he and his followers informally banded together, inspired by St. Francis de Sales. And with Pope Pius IX's encouragement, John gathered 17 men and followed the Salesians in 1859, and their activity concentrated on education and mission work. Later, he organized a group of Salesian sisters to assist girls. And so here's one more about that vision. The stately vessel, the Catholic Church, is shielded by an escort. Winds and waves are with the enemy. In this midst of this endless sea, two solid columns, a short distance apart, soar high into the sky. One is surmounted by a statue of the Immaculate Virgin, at whose feet the large inscription reads, "Help of Christians." And the other, far loftier and sturdier, supports a communion host of proportionate size, and bears beneath it the inscription, "Salvation of Believers." And the flagship commander, the Roman Pontiff, the Pope, seeing the enemy's fury, summons his captains to a conference. However, as they discuss their strategy, a furious storm breaks out, and they must return to their ships. And when the storm abates, the Pope again summons his captains as the flagship keeps on its course. But the storm rages again. Standing at the helm, the Pope strains every muscle to steer his ship between the two columns, from whose summit hangs many anchors and strong hooks linked to chains. And the entire enemy fleet closes in to intercept and sink the flagship at all costs. And they bombard it with everything they have, books and pamphlets, incendiary bombs, firearms, cannons, and the battle rages ever more furious. beaked prows rammed the flagship again and again, but to no avail. As unscathed and undaunted, it keeps on its course. At times, a formidable ram splinters a gaping hole into a tall, but immediately a breeze from the two columns instantly seals the gash. Meanwhile, enemy cannons blow up. Firearms and beaks fall into pieces. Ships crack up and sink to the bottom. In blind fury, the enemy takes to hand-to-hand combat, cursing and blaspheming. Suddenly, the Pope falls, seriously wounded. He is instantly helped, but struck down a second time and dies. A shout of victory arises from the enemy, and wild rejoicing sweeps their ships, but no sooner is the Pope dead than another takes his place. The captains of the auxiliary ships elected him so quickly that the news of the Pope's death coincides with that of his successor's election, and the enemy's self-assurance wanes, and breaking through all resistance, the new Pope steers his ship safely between the two columns and moors. It is the two columns. First to the one surmounted by the host, and then to the other topped by the statue of the Virgin. And at this point, something unexpected happens. The enemy ships panic and disperse, colliding with and scuttling each other. Some auxiliary ships, which had gallantly fought alongside their flagship, are the first to tie up at the two columns. And many others, which had fearfully kept far away from the fight, stand still, cautiously waiting until the wrecked enemy ships vanish under the waves. Then they too head for the two columns, tie up at the swinging hooks, and ride safe and tranquil beside their flagship. A great calm now covers the sea. And in conclusion to his dream, very grave trials await the church. What we have suffered so far is almost nothing compared to what is going to happen. The enemies of the church are symbolized by the ships which strive their utmost to sink the flagship. Only two things can save us in such a grave hour. Devotion to Mary and frequent communion. And let us do our very best to use these two means and have others use them everywhere. And many interpret St. John Bosco's vision as regarding the trials the church has endured and is continuing to endure. At the dawn of the third millennium, namely, rampant secularism and apostasy, which has led to attacks against the church and her teachings. St. Don Bosco, pray for us. And Pius XI beatifies St. Don Bosco on 2 June 1929 and canonized him on Easter Sunday, the 1st of April of 1934. And when he was given the title of Father and Teacher of Youth, Pope Pius XII proclaimed him patron saint of Catholic publishers in 1949. And St. John Bosco was canonized in 1934 by Pope Pius XI, who knew him as a young priest. And there you have the story of St. John Bosco. And man, what a great, powerful story and saint. And he encourages us as we should hook up with the two pillars of the Eucharist and our Blessed Mother. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I love you. Mother Mary, I love you. My guardian angel, I love you. And St. Don Bosco is calling us to pray for our priest today. It's important for the sacraments.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priest.
I'm the man in black.
Joyous prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net by which we catch souls. Mary, Mother of Jesus, throw your mantle of purity over our priests. Protect them, guide them, and keep them in your heart. Be a mother to them, especially in times of discouragement and loneliness. Love them and keep them belonging completely to Jesus. Like Jesus, they too are your sons, so keep their hearts pure and virginal. Keep their minds filled with Jesus and put Jesus always on their lips, so that Jesus is the one they offer to sinner and to all they meet. Mary, bless them and keep a special place for them in your heart. And give them a piece of your heart so beautiful and pure and immaculate, so full of love and humility, so that they too can grow in the likeness of Christ. Dear Mary, make them humble like you, and holy like Jesus. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. And may the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. Incline them to constant adoration and thanksgiving. Pray in and through them, and let them live in you, and keep them in this intimate union always. O Mary, Immaculate Conception, Mother of Jesus and Mother of Priests, pray and intercede for all our priests. And we pray for our bishops. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grace our bishops with the gifts of wisdom and strength, gentleness and compassion, as our bishops continue to take up their role as our pastors and teachers. And we pray for our deacons. Lord Jesus Christ, servant of all, send your spirit upon our deacons as they serve your church, and give them eyes to see the needs of your people. Give them a discerning mind to know your truth. Give them a humble heart, and give them peace of mind, and give them health of body, so they may serve with strength. And Lord, give our deacons fertile ground for your inspiration and love. And comfort them, Lord, when they question themselves and their ministry. And make our deacons' hearts like yours, Lord, so they may love your people. And we pray for our seminarians. We pray for our seminarians, Lord. Those who are seeking to serve you as his priest. As a priest, pray for our seminarians, Lord. Lord, give our seminarians the grace to follow you more perfectly. When they are lonely or discouraged, fill them with your peace. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make the hearts of our seminarians like yours. Amen. And give them strength, Lord, when they feel weak. Love when they feel forsaken. Courage when they are afraid. Wisdom when they feel foolish. Comfort when they are alone. Hope when they feel rejected. And peace when their hearts are in turmoil. Lord, fill your heart, fill your church with the spirit of courage and love, and raise up worthy ministers for your altars. And grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns for you, reigns with you, one God, forever and ever. And we pray for our altar servers, all those who serve around your holy altar, Lord. Open their mouths, Lord, to bless your holy name, and cleanse their hearts from all evil and distracting thoughts. Enlighten their understanding, and inflame their will that they may serve worthily at your holy altar, Lord. And for the motto of the altar server, all for the honor and glory of God. And with our altar servers, children whose hearts John Bosco was fervent to help. So we, along with St. John Bosco, pray for children. And we pray for Pope Francis and all the clergy today around the world, that they will hold fast to the positive faith that the church, the voice of the church, will be heard and proclaimed. Reaching these young children and families as we pray for our children.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children. Children,
you'll have that responsibility children, soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. Young, carefree children.
And help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that power for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, watch over us and care for us just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son and so grow in strength and wisdom in the favor of God. Amen. Joseph is the patron saint of the universal church, families, fathers, expectant mothers. Oh, glorious Saint Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the care, protecting the children of children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, do assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having experienced here below your heavenly Father, so we thank you, Lord. And along with St. Don Bosco and St. Nicholas and St. Sebastian, St. Maria Goretti and St. Daphna and St. Philomena and St. Gianna and St. Christopher, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Raphael the Archangel, and St. Gabriel the Archangel, St. Monica and St. Anthony, Lord, you are children and grandchildren's refuge and fortress, the God in whom they can and should put their trust. And I pray that no evil shall be allowed to befall on our children and grandchildren. No plague will come near their tent. Amen. Lord, you are my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from my enemies. I will call upon you, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much, and I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince, by the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking to ruin us souls. Amen. And we pray for those who have recently passed from this life. Pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries, focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives. And by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change but do not end. And I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all those who have recently passed known to you alone, and in company with Christ who died and now lives. May they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away, and unite us together again in one family to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. And may the Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And may the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. And may they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. May Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. And may Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. And may Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. And may Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And may he forgive all their sins and set them among those he has chosen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. And because St. John, Don Bosco, his love for children, we need to know what happens. Where do all the children go if we are not involved, if we do not pray for them? Where do they go? And where do the children go? We need to be alert about the Pied Piper, because the Pied Piper, he comes in many forms. So we need to be alert to safeguard our children. If there's any obstacles which is preventing you or anyone from going to Mass to receive the Eucharist and the state of grace, body, blood, soul, and divinity, if there's obstacles that might be present that's preventing you from praying the rosary, well, St. Don Bosco would be and is saying to us, let it go. Follow our Lord. Thank you.
looks like I'm a queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried.
Amen. One day, we will all have to stand before the Lord, and so we want to stand with His mercy. When you go to confession, the Lord takes those sins that you confess, and He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and He remembers them no more. And how wonderful that is, so that when we stand before Him on the day of judgment, when we stand up there and face His eternal justice, He will honor that mercy that He gives and offers in the confessional. We are given a judgment of mercy. So go. Because one day we will stand before the Lord. And we want His mercy. We want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the home that my Father has prepared for you. To pray the rosary. And go to Mass. Okay, and so go to confession. Make that a way of life. Okay. Well, tomorrow we will have St. Ansgar that's going to be entering the gap tomorrow. And we thank you, Lord, for all the saints in heaven, the Catholic Hall of Fame, as we strive towards this Hall of Fame ourselves one day. And we thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Mother Mary. And I love you, Saint Joseph. And I love you, my guardian angel. I love you, Lord, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we will be back tomorrow on Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us with St. Ansgar. God bless you all out there today. May the Lord's blessings be upon you and shine upon you. Amen. God bless. As we close, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.